Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider is the epistle lesson, Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is our text. So we continue on our way to the cross. When we get there, how will we be able to understand what is going on? That is a problem. It was for the disciples and for the Jews, and it's a problem for us too today. For after all, there are many people who would tell us many things about what happened on the cross at Calvary, just as there were at Jesus' time. There was a lot of confusion. The disciples looked at him and saw a failed man. They scattered. The women wept and grieved the loss of a dear one. And his enemies, well, for a time, they rejoiced, ironically. So what does it all mean? What does it mean to look on the cross? Human beings by nature can't understand it. Paul will talk about this in just a little bit. He will talk about the fact that the flesh is unable to please God. And in other places, talks about the fact that the flesh doesn't understand the ways or the things of God. And so, we need the Spirit. We need the Spirit. Now, the Spirit isn't a feeling. The Spirit isn't some sort of power that comes over you and gives you chills up and down your spine. In fact, in the Lutheran Church, we have tried to protect people from those odd ideas about where the Spirit is. Where does God present himself? Because over and over again throughout time, people have said that the presence of God can be discerned, can be felt, apart from the Word. But that's not the way the Spirit works. That's not the way God works. Our Lutheran confessions, as they introduce a part of Martin Luther's Smalcald articles, make some very interesting comments. Let me first read you Luther. In issues relating to the spoken outward word, we must firmly hold that God grants his Spirit or grace to no one except through or with the preceding outward word. This protects us from the enthusiasts, that is, souls who boast that they have the Spirit without and before the word. The editors of the Concordia say, radical reformers taught that people should seek God outside of his word, looking instead to their inner feelings, their thoughts, and their so-called spiritual experience. Luther calls them enthusiasts or Schwärmer, a German word for the buzzing of bees. Many make the same claims today. This error is rooted deeply in all people as a result of the fall, and it must be battled constantly. It is also at the root of the source of many errors within the church. Luther makes this key point. God does not wish to deal with us in any other way than through the spoken word and the sacraments. He speaks, we listen. At his speaking, it is done. And so, when we make our way to the cross, the Lord sends his Spirit as a gift to the pilgrims who are going to the cross and beyond. Each year we go and we make our way to the cross, And Paul makes clear in our text why we need the Spirit. Paul makes it clear that there are two ways that people can live: by means of following their flesh, by means of the Spirit. The way of the flesh will not lead to life. It will not enable us to understand the cross. God's word of law, Paul says, his word of love, cannot keep us or help us, cannot even begin to inform us about what happens on the cross. We see a man punished, hanging and dying, crying out that he's been forsaken by God. God's word of law, that is his definition and way of defining for us what love is. It's not a bad thing. It's not a feeling. Love is a perfect keeping of the law, Paul will say in Romans chapter 13. But because of the fallen condition of our flesh, the word of the law, discussions about love, are of no use to us. They don't help us to understand what's actually going on in the cross or even what we need in our lives. Oh, love does distinguish for us our failings. But the flesh has no power to fix that and overcome it. It will not make us better, holy, or even pleasing to God. Paul will say something about that in just a minute. Because of our flesh, Paul tells us that we cannot please God. It's impossible. And so what good does it do to go and ponder what happened on the cross? It's impossible. What a word. The flesh cannot please God. So if we stand in the flesh, if we walk in the flesh, if we make our way to Jerusalem, to Golgotha, all we will do is offend God, and we will stand condemned. A horrible word, standing under the cross, condemned because of our sins. There's an irony, there's a contrast that anyone with the Spirit might pick up as soon as I said it. So walking in the flesh does not solve any problem, or doesn't solve our problems, doesn't explain what this event meant. Paul says, in order to understand, in order to appreciate, in order to take it in, and believe what it means for us, we must daily walk in the Spirit. And then nothing condemns us. Walking in the Spirit means that we no longer stand condemned. How in the world can that be? Well, that's because the Spirit comes, as Jesus has promised he would come, to all who believe, to all who are baptized. The promise is for you and your children. And the Holy Spirit comes, and the first thing he does is he calls us to repentance and faith in Christ. He shows us our sin. He shows us our need. When we look at the cross, we see our sins nailed to the cross. We see a man forsaken in our place for us. He calls us to repentance, for we see what truly is our problem, our need. And we begin to see that we could not and did not and will never be able to solve our problem with sin. And so the Spirit points us to Christ. When we were brought to forgiveness and life, we received the Spirit of God. If you do not have the Spirit, you are not any of His. Therefore, each one of us has the Spirit. And therefore, as we walk on our way to the cross and beyond this Lenten tide, we have a teacher. someone who will teach us all things, who will not let us forget who this one is, this Christ, this man going to Jerusalem, who must go to Jerusalem and be crucified and rise again. The Holy Spirit was the one who inspired the apostles and the prophets to sing about this one who took our place under the cross, Isaiah 53, and a host of other passages where we hear that he was crushed and bruised for us in our place. This one who pleased the Father in our place, who, although he was forsaken for us, hated, despised, so that we would never be hated, forsaken, or despised, but that God the Holy Spirit would walk with us each day as he does with all who are Christ's brothers and sisters. The way of the Spirit brings life and salvation, first and foremost, when we come to faith, when we're baptized. We receive the washing of renewal of the Holy Spirit and the Word. The Spirit comes as a gift, and the Spirit comes and leads us to the cross, not just once, but day after day, throughout each day, to remind us that God is for us, that God loves us, and that God paid the debts so that we don't have to fend for ourselves, so that we in the midst of a pandemic don't have to take it on our shoulders and somehow make our way through this mess, but rather we are carried in the arms of a good shepherd. The Spirit comes and brings to remembrance all that Jesus said. This is the one, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He must go and give his life a ransom. A payment for us. He must go to Jerusalem and be betrayed, beat, crucified, and rise on the third day. The Holy Spirit reminds us over and over again as we stumble about because of our flesh. He reminds us again and again of the one who came to save us, to pay our debts, and to raise us to newness of life. This is the one whom the Father was pleased with. And because we have been baptized into Christ, the Father then also is pleased with us. We are his children, adopted in baptism. We have his Spirit, and we by nature cry out, Abba, Father. We do not fear to come before him when the way gets tough, when we're overwhelmed by worry. Because we know that we have a Father who loves us and who will give us all good things and who will make everything work together for good to those who love him. We will be enlightened and enlivened here and forever through the work of the Spirit. The Word of God comes to us who spoke, hovering over the waters in creation, hovering over the waters in baptism. The Word of God, the Spirit of God comes so that this one speaks life and salvation into our hearts and our minds as we make our way day in and day out. That is the life of a Christian. Whose flesh is warring against the Spirit, Paul says in Galatians 5, but whose new man, whose spirit overcomes the flesh. Our body is dead because of sin, Paul says, but the Spirit is alive. Our old sinful nature is being cast off, put to death, and the new man arises in faith and good works. This one will lead us to the cross and beyond. For there we will see our life and Savior fulfilling the law for us. There we will see our bridegroom who gave all so that the bride would be fit, ready for the wedding feast, so that she would be clothed, as we said yesterday, with immortality. She would be clothed with that which is incorruptible, which is immortal. We walk in the Spirit daily, the Spirit who brings the Word to bear on our lives, the Word which preaches Christ to us. He never tires of preaching that Word into our hearts, our minds, and ears, raising us to new life, raising us to fix our eyes on our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is how we make this pilgrimage, through this one, this gift of a Spirit, through whom we are born again, and through whom our lives are sustained until we see our Savior again in heaven. Amen.